Welcome to Podcasterino. I'm your host, Michael Serber. Jasper Philipsen is the first Maillot Jaune of the 2025 Tour de France. That's the short story. Excellent win, confirmation of the train, the sprint train that was brought by Alpecin de Kuenig to the Tour. Matthew Vanderpoel had a moment on the run-in where his teammate, you immediately see him go on the radio behind him like, dude, slow the fuck down. Because with about 5K to go, like, he was all out and no one could touch him. That bodes well for tomorrow I believe on Tuesday. He's got to hang on in the time trial, or maybe give up a little bit of time, and then he gets some freedom to go for the yellow after that if he's not able to grab it. But Philipsen kind of had an opportunity against a reduced bunch, but still, I would say Benjamin Girmay, last year's green jersey winner, the stiffest competition, and had Girmay had a little bit better line, he was kind of up against the barriers, so he didn't have a clear path to get around Philipsen, but from the side angle, it looked like Philipsen had a clear couple wheels between him and everyone else. Why was Jonathan Milan not a part of this sprint? Why was Tim Merlier not a part of this sprint? A really bad day for Lidl Trek and Soudal Quickstep when you take into account the fact that Remco Evenepoel was also not in this first group because of crosswinds that split the group with, 15, 20K to go? Not excellent. UAE was there. Tadej Pogacar, safely in the lead group. No time lost. Jonas Vingegaard, safely in the lead group. No time lost. I'm going to go quickly through just scanning this. This just happened a couple minutes ago. We just got the time gaps. Matteo Jorgensen, a lieutenant, certainly, for Jonas in the mountains. He's there. Pogacar, as I said, is there. Vingegaard is there. Outside of those dudes, Enric Mas, the only other GC contender, unless we're counting like Tobias Johansson, maybe those guys are going to have something to say in the top 10 at the end of all this. They're certainly in better shape than everyone else, who lost at least 39 seconds. Jonathan Milan is listed first in this group, 39 seconds down. But this is a group that includes Remco Evenepoel. It includes Primoz Roglic, Ben Healy, Carlos Rodriguez. When we talk about Carlos Rodriguez and Ineos Grenadiers, disaster for them and Filippo Ganna crashing out. I think in the concussion protocol, I heard a quick interview with Geraint Thomas before I shut off the Peacock coverage because I don't know. Anyways, to everybody that works on that crew behind the scenes, y'all are doing great work. the idea that Quickstep got caught out in this, Red Bull got caught out in this, Lidl Trek got caught out in this, pretty embarrassing, pretty bad. If you're Quickstep, and everyone's been saying leading up to the tour that the team's not strong enough to support Remco Evenepoel, they all look right now, which isn't great. Roglic once again has just lost time inexplicably in a Grand Tour on the Red Bull side of things. Red Bull, no one was talking about how your team is weak. They were talking about maybe Florian Lipowitz was going to be the leader and not Roglic. Lipowitz did not make this split, so he has also lost time. There was two splits because Simon Yates was also dropped at some point. I don't have the full results here. I'm going all the way back to 110 with a minute six, and let's see. There is no Simon Yates as far as I know on this list. Geraint Thomas was caught out 39 seconds down. Lipowitz is here. Okay. Right with Roglic. They according to this, cross the line together. Who knows? Carlos Rodriguez, though, you know, Ghana was definitely a candidate to take the yellow jersey. Could have hung around for those first 4 days and then really put some distance between him and everyone else and maybe fought it out with a guy like Remco for the yellow jersey on stage five. If you're Remco, you were looking at this like, survive the first week. There's an opportunity to take yellow on stage five. That opportunity doesn't look so great anymore. You've lost 39 seconds. We talked about the fact that he was able to get 45 seconds in the Dauphiné in a 17-kilometer time trial in the last episode. He now will have 32 kilometers to at least get 39 on Pogačar. He was only able to get 20 seconds on Jonas in a 17-kilometer time trial. So in the 32-kilometer time trial, we'll see if he's able to stretch that out enough to get 40 seconds on Jonas. Other guys that made that split, we just have to look here. Tobias Johansson's gonna be a threat, I think, potentially. Kasper Asgreen, a threat in that time trial. Kasper Asgreen, once again, a former teammate of Remco Evenepoel, someone that Quickstep let go. So there's some guys here that kind of block that path, including the two main guys. If you are UAE or Visma, you're ecstatic. You're probably a little upset that Almeida lost time today. If you're UAE, ultimately, you're probably trying to get two riders on the podium. If you are Visma, you're bummed about Yates not making the split, but Jonas is there. You know, Benoot was with him. Both of those guys had multiple teammates in the group with them that made the split, and they were pushing on. And in fact, there was one point with a few K to go that the top two riders in the tour are pushing. Jasper Philipsen, ultimately, from a reduced bunch, a reduced group, I wouldn't even call him a bunch, really, wins. It's Jasper Philipsen, I believe. In North Carolina, that's Jasper Philipsen. Jasper's in that yellow shirt. So he's going to wear it. You know, who knows about tomorrow if he can hang on to it. It's pretty bumpy. He's a pretty strong rider, though. So there will be other people, you know, someone like Matteo Trentin who was fifth today, certainly has a kicky or a little bit of a punch to get over these hills. Caden Groves maybe could be a candidate, his own teammate. Matthew Vanderpoel certainly seems like the obvious candidate to take yellow tomorrow from his teammate, potentially. Tiesj Benoot also will have something to say. Tim Wellens, they were talking about it on the Peacock stream. You know, he might be in the form of his life right now. He just won the Belgian National Championship, held off Remco Evenepoel on a terrain that really would suit Remco, but also suited Tim Wellens for sure. But 38 seconds, it's a pretty big gap that Remco wasn't able to close. Ironically enough, today, the gap 39 seconds, Remco's team couldn't close it. That's another concerning thing. I think if you're Sudal Quickstep, you had your entire team there with Merlier and Evenepoel. Even though you missed the split, you had everyone there ready to contribute to the chase, and you weren't able to make any headway. Regardless of what the winds were doing, you missed out. You made a mental error. There was a moment when Remco had no one around him on the team and got forced off the road and shuffled far back in that group. That might have been why they had to lift the gas, and maybe why the gap was so big, why they weren't able to close it. Maybe it would have been less. Maybe they were good to close it down to 39 seconds because we weren't getting a lot of coverage of them. But what I did see is Remco really not being looked after very well in the peloton. In contrast, Pogačar constantly in the right position. Vingegaard constantly in the right position. Teammates always sort of around to do something. There's some money that got spent by Sudal Quickstep to make this better this year, to eliminate these problems. And the, you know, Max Schachmann and Valentin Paré-Pont is not paying off right now. Okay. Bringing Tim Merlier to the tour to potentially win sprint stages is not paying off right now. He didn't even contest the sprint at the midway point of the stage, which I thought was a little bit like, this guy's not going for the green jersey, just trying to win stages. not a lot of opportunities for him to do that. Is he just going to pull out? Is he pretty much counting on not being able to make a time split on one of these mountains to finish within the time limit? For those of you who are new to cycling, when we get to some of these longer stages, in fact, on every stage, there is a time limit in which you can get in before you're eliminated. There's a cutoff time. Today, I can't remember the exact rules of it. You can look it up if you're interested. Today, I think it would have been probably, 15, 20, 30 minutes. I don't know. On some of these mountain stages, you get, 45 minutes, an hour, hour and a half, however long it be. And the gruppetto, which is the small group that drops off the back. You've heard probably Peloton today. Peloton is the big group. The breakaway are the brave motherfuckers that go up the road and risk it all. Meanwhile, you've got the gruppetto in the back, which on the stages you're going to see later on in this race with climbs, big mountain passes, those guys are not going to try and hang with the Pogacars and the Vingegaards and their super teams that they have around them. They're going to drop off the back and just take it easy and chill on the way in and take in the scenery. This was not a great day for anyone outside of those guys that, Alpecin de Kuenig, who proved their mettle. UAE, who got their guys up there. Tim Wellens looked really strong at the front for a moment. Visma having their guys there. And honestly, if you're Movistar, you didn't have much with him. I think he had one or two, maybe three teammates around him, but they didn't all finish. Yeah, and I think he just had one teammate with him in that group. Garcia, but Enric Mas, huge win for him today. He gains 39 seconds on all his rivals. Enric Mas and Movistar would have been coming to this Tour de France to finish on the podium. Enric Mas has finished on the podium at the Vuelta before. He's kind of been a certain timeline or a certain generation of hope for Spanish Grand Tour winners. Up until Juan Ayuso coming along now, he kind of took that baton from Alberto Contador and has kind of been the guy that they've hoped would win a Grand Tour. At this point, I think Spanish cycling fans would be over the moon with Enric Mas finishing on the podium of this Tour de France. So he's put himself in a good position. He's going to lose time in the time trials, but we've seen performances from him before where he's been able to just hang with everyone in the climbs and consolidate time loss at the very end in the final kilometer if he does get dropped. He's a very strong climber. This was a big day for him and a big win for him. Uno X, you had your entire team up there. You've got some GC hopes up there. You had some stage winners potentially getting up there with Soren Wernskold, who finished third. He's now in the in a conversation for yellow jersey if he can hang around on these punchy climbs in the final few days or the next couple days here. So Big wins for Tudor. You're probably disappointed. I saw Alaphilippe was at least in one of the back groups. I don't know if it was the group that finished a minute down or the group that was 39th. But either way, he lost time today, which will be disappointing because he would have been in a position to potentially take yellow on some of those punchier stages. He may be given a little more leeway to win those stages now, which is also would be great for a team like Tudor. Once again, if you're new to this, there's kind of two levels of team. In the division standpoint, there's more levels than that. We can get into that in future episodes as far as financial investment. But there's two levels. You have your UCI Pro Tour teams and your World Tour teams. The World Tour teams are going to be the 18, best teams, essentially in the race. Then we have, I believe it's five more now. Cause if we started with, 184 or maybe it's 24, I don't know. There's a ton of teams now. So we have several more Pro Tour teams. Forgive me for not knowing the number off the top of my head. I was told there would be no math. But each team has eight riders. Tudor is one of these teams that is in this race at that level. Israel Premier Tech, another team that is in as a Pro Tour team, not a World Tour team. Lotto, another Pro Tour, not World Tour team. And then Total Energies and Arkea, I believe, are not World Tour teams. Pretty sure those are Pro Tour teams as well, as is Uno X. So, Uno X probably the big Pro Tour winner today of those teams that got an invite to this race, that 18 World Tour teams get in automatically as being part of the World Tour. That's one of the perks, is every Grand Tour you are in. And the Giro, there were some Italian teams that wouldn't typically race. In this case, that's Arkea. The French team that wouldn't typically race every Grand Tour potentially. I believe Cofidis is in the World Tour right now, but historically they've been one of those pro tour teams as well that kind of bounces between. Astana is a team that is in the World Tour, but is kind of fighting for points because this is all about to renew, and we'll get they will reclassify the top 18 World Tour teams, and they will have World Tour status for the next 3 years. So that stuff gets really interesting. Intermarché should be happy about Girmay finishing second. They will have hoped for him to win. He's got a little bit of punch to him. He's a lighter sprinter, so hopefully he can get over some of these hills tomorrow, and then he'll have another opportunity on Monday at a sprint and potentially to take the yellow jersey. There's time bonuses at the end of these stages. First place gets an extra 10 seconds advantage on everyone. Second place gets 6 seconds advantage on everyone. Third place gets 4 seconds advantage on everyone. So right now, technically, Philipsen is 10 seconds ahead of everyone. Girmay is 6 seconds ahead of everyone. And Wierenskold is 4 seconds ahead of everyone that finished in that front group because of those time bonuses. So when we look back at a guy like Remco, he's technically 49 seconds down now. 39 seconds on his rivals. So a really exciting stage. Ghana having to abandon, a big bummer. Stefan Bissiger, Swiss like time trial specialist, also had to abandon because of a crash. Saw some guys lose some time. But that kind of, you know, perhaps some of those guys will get a little more leeway to attack now than they would have if they were on the same time as Pogacar and Vingegaard. I don't know that Remco gets any more leeway. I don't know that Roglic gets any more leeway. Those guys probably, you know, considered the big losers, big disappointment for today. They're going to be in the team bus talking about, hopefully they're going to be, the idea is to stay calm, but there's certainly going to be a need to regroup and figure out how do we move forward from here. For Remco, I think he was realistic coming into this tour that, you know, the podium was the best he could do, meaning second or third. I think realistically he was hoping to be closer to Vingegaard this time than Pogacar. But losing 39 seconds on Vingegaard, who looked really great in the time trial and the Dauphiné, is a big blow to that chance. Losing 39 seconds to Enric Mas is also not great. He will make that up in the time trial against Mas. But from my recollection of past Vuelta a España performances head-to-head with Enric Mas, Mas was like the one guy that was typically able to hold Remco's wheel and hang with him in those climbs and those kind of diluted Vueltas. So that doesn't look great. Carlos Rodriguez losing this time as well doesn't look awesome. There's nothing that sets him apart really from Enric Mas to me. I don't know that there's a 40 seconds of difference there if Enric Mas continues to ride well throughout this race. There's questions to be answered tomorrow on a little bit more of a bumpy terrain. I don't know that we're going to see a GC guy go for the stage win, but we might. I'm going to pull up the stage profile and just kind of take a look at what it looks like, because I'm remembering maybe 3 or 4 climbs at the end of this stage. There's 3 climbs. There's a cat 3. There's 2 cat 3s and a cat 4. And then we end. I can't really see the finish here. Yeah, and there's a bump here at the end. It rises up pretty significantly at the end. So, like, there are some fast men who can handle this type of stuff, but you would imagine that, like, Matthew Van Der Poel, Julian Alaphilippe, Tadej Pogacar, Remco Evenepoel, Jonas Vingegaard are going to go for it. Like I said, we'll see how motivated someone like Pogacar or Vingegaard is to go for it and take the yellow jersey. There is a thought at this point in the race that, like, maybe you don't want the yellow jersey. I know that could seem confusing, but with the yellow jersey comes a ton of responsibility, to quote Spider-Man, Uncle Ben. With great power comes great responsibility. You kind of have to manage the race, manage the break. You do more work on the front of the race, typically, as the team with the yellow jersey, to defend the yellow jersey. There's press obligations if you are wearing the yellow jersey. So if it is Pogacar or Vingegaard wearing that jersey, they have to talk to the press more. So I don't know how motivated they will be to take it at that point, considering they will then have to probably carry it through the time trial. And with this gap that they've now got on Evenepoel, it's not a guarantee that they will lose it in the time trial. They'd be in a good shape to keep it, probably. Which means they might hang on to it till the second week, and then you get into the second week and you've had the yellow jersey for 8 stages. So let's see, maybe a break goes tomorrow. That would be from a viewing perspective, that's what I would hope for. I would love to see a break where some of these guys who lost time in this first stage get a chance to go off and do something. Like, let me see Julian Alaphilippe in a break tomorrow. I don't care where he does it. But let him go off. That's what I would like to see. But like I said in our last episode, 2-horse race, probably not going to get super competitive. Jasper Philipsen gave himself a great lead in the green jersey competition. Benjamin Girmay as well, considering his ability to get up some of the punchier climbs that they may have to navigate to get some extra green jersey points. Those two in excellent shape over Jonathan Milan, Tim Merlier, Brian Coquard, any of those other dudes that might have been gunning for the green jersey, Dylan Groenewegen. Good spot to be in. Wearing gold, also feeling like, okay, just be consistent from here on out, and I'll have a shot at the green. So, stage 2 tomorrow. I think we may see some GC action, but we may see some breakaway action, which will be really awesome. But stage 1 was awesome. You can't win the tour on stage 1, but you can certainly lose it. And we didn't even talk about Ben O'Connor. Nasty crash. Within the 5K to go limit. So if you are with the group with 5K to go on these flat stages like this, and something happens, you have a mechanical or a crash, you're given the same time as the group you were with at the 5K mark. So Ben O'Connor, I don't believe, lost any time today. Technically, he will be given the same time, you would think, but he's not listed here. It was a nasty crash. Let me make sure he just hasn't been announced as an abandoned, because I saw him get back on his bike, but he was going slow. Him and Vandenberg for EF Education. Nothing yet about Ben O'Connor. Hopefully he's still in the race. I'm looking at the official team page. Official. O'Connor gets the same time as the front group. He went down with under 4K remaining. So he's gotten the same time. But it was a nasty, it was a hard crash. Didn't look good. Didn't look good at all. But he would have been challenging for a top 10 going down for any amount of time on the tarmac. Affects your chances of being able to hang on some of the longer, more grueling days. So I look forward to tomorrow's stage. Today was awesome. Thanks for listening. If you like this, please like, subscribe, click the notification thing if you have that on your podcast platform of choice. Hopefully this is going out to just about everything now. You can follow me on Blue Sky at server.bluesky.social. Okay, bye.